on WSLR, LP 96.5 FM in Sarasota, and WBPD LP 100.1 FM in Bradenton. This is Johannes Werner with your WSLR News headlines for Tuesday, April 7th. Tomorrow, the City of Sarasota Planning Board will weigh a developer's request to abandon a public right-of-way to build a 10-story luxury condo on two blocks at the edge of downtown. The 1776 Ringling project would go up at the corner of Ringling Boulevard and Osprey Avenue. The developer will include two attainable apartments in the complex. In return, they want higher density than allowed under current zoning, using the city's affordable housing program. But in order to build at the location, they would first tear down an apartment building with 12 affordable units. The Manatee County School Board is considering a policy that would restrict teachers from showing support for social movements and equality issues. At a workshop meeting last week, board member Richard Tatum led the push for a policy that would prohibit staff from what he calls engaging in political activism on school grounds. In the discussion, Tatum mentioned rainbow stickers on the door of a school counselor, saying they might discourage conservative students from seeking help. Formulating the new policy is now in the district lawyer's hands, who will then bring it back to the board. New College of Florida is preparing to allow faculty and staff to pack heat on campus if the state expands the so-called Guardian program. The college announced it plans to participate in the program if Governor Ron DeSantis signs HB 757 into law. That bill would expand the Guardian program from K-12 schools to colleges and universities. Teachers and staff would volunteer to undergo extensive training before being allowed to carry firearms in classrooms. During a visit yesterday to the University of South Florida in Tampa, Governor Ron DeSantis signed legislation that will allow just a handful of government executives to designate domestic terrorist organizations in Florida and expel college students who promote them. Earlier this year, the governor designated the Council of American Islamic Relations a terrorist organization. The civil rights organization immediately sued, and a federal judge in March temporarily blocked the terrorism designation. CARE is replying today to the governor's bill signing with its own press conferences in Tampa and Fort Lauderdale. This has been Johannes Werner with your WSLR News headlines for Tuesday, April 7th.
Support for WSLR comes from listeners like you and from Manatee Spirit Holistic Sound Studio, offering sound-based wellness experiences in Bradenton. More information is available at 941-201-0069 or at info@manateespirit.com. Good morning, everyone. You are listening to WSLR LP 96.5 FM in Sarasota and WBPV LP 100.1 FM in Bradenton. Also streaming on WSLR.org or by downloading the free WSLR app. This is the Healthy Living Hour, airing live every other Tuesday from 9 to 10 a.m. Eastern Time. My name is Rebecca Acosta, local acupuncture physician, and I'm your host. A huge thanks to our soundboard operator, Neil Rubidoux, of this morning's Melody Matrix 7 to 9 on your drive into work. Our goal here on the Healthy Living Hour is to offer a wide variety of topics and guests to better inform and educate our community on current health and wellness issues. As a disclaimer, the views, opinions, and expressed by host guests and callers on WSLR programs are their own and do not necessarily reflect those of WSLR, its staff, nor volunteers. Further, no one here is providing any type of medical diagnosis, treatment, nor advice. Everything said here is solely for general information and to foster critical thinking. We encourage you to consult your doctor for personal medical advice. Also, just to let everybody know, we are here live in Studio One. And that studio line, if you'd like to call in and participate in our conversation today, we welcome you. That number is 941-954-8636. 954-8636. And good morning, everybody. It's good to be back here today. And I've had Dr. Jacqueline Roller on air. I think it was in December, and we talked about getting through the holidays in times of grief and heaviness for many people. And she's back here with me today. She has a doctorate in psychology, and I know her as a forensic clinical psychologist. Dr. Jacqueline, can you give us a little more of your background? And
sure, Rebecca.
Thank you.
My background really began 18 years of teaching middle school and high school. And that was kind of a natural transition into psychology because many students would stop by after school, or I was a coach. And I started listening to their stories of what they were dealing with in their homes and so forth. Or I'd have a child really struggling in the classroom and then realize a lot of what was going on elsewhere in their life was coming into the classroom. So I became very interested in family systems. And family systems also carries into then our world and the systems that we live in. So I've been a clinical psychologist for over 20 years now. I love the work. And a lot of my work ultimately involves trauma as I listen to people's stories.
Yeah, thank you for being here today. We're going to talk about a number of things. The impact of AI, social media in this particular sector of healthcare, conversion therapy, the problems with that, and just the heaviness and how we can, you know, what are the challenges and what are some of the solutions in keeping or maintaining our own mental wellness in these challenging times. You know, the news, there's just so much going on out there. And so thank you for that. And, oh, I'd like to just say, I wanted to wish my mother a happy birthday today. It's her birthday. And, as people know, you know, I work in Chinese medicine and I love the Eastern philosophy. And I believe you did some research, you know, on that too when you were in.
Yes. My dissertation was on Tai Chi and looking at the benefits of Tai Chi, for mental health. Especially anxiety and depression. It gets us in our body. It gets us grounded so that the world doesn't just get us spinning. You know, I think grounding is so important to kind of be in your own body, in your own feet, feel the ground. And then when things are going on around us, we're not as likely to spin out, if you will.
Yeah, and we'll talk a bit more about that later, but I meant to mention this to you the other day when we were discussing putting this program together, but did you know, and when I heard this, it just made so much sense in studying the Asian philosophy. They don't really celebrate themselves on their birthdays. We call it Mother Suffering Day. We give, you know, we honor our ancestors. They honor their ancestors, and it's just... it's a little opposite, you know, people, and no judgment, but people have birthday months now. It's like a whole month celebration, but we express gratitude for our parents on our birthdays. And I just love that aspect and that mindset of being. It keeps it less, I think, less self-centered.
Right. It kind of gets you outside yourself.
Yeah.
Which I think is lovely. I have a friend who every year gets a bouquet of flowers on her son's birthday.
Oh, yeah.
He sends them and thanks her for giving birth and life to him.
Yes, and it's interesting. So one of my past lives, I was a florist up in a little town, Park Falls, Wisconsin. And I remember, too, working there for, I think, 3 or 4 years when my oldest was little. I had this big biker guy come in, you know, long hair, just big bikery. And he would come up and he would send his mother flowers on his birthday. And I thought, wow, you know, that really, and now I understand the why, and maybe he wasn't doing it for that same reason. But what a cool thing. And I'd like to tell people out there too, you know, did you know that you can have a birthday message or an anniversary or, you know, a greeting read on air to your loved one? And if you'd like more information about that, contact the office@WSLR.org or contact the radio station line and people can help you with that. So, Dr. Roller, let's dive into this, please.
Rebecca, I think we have. When you mentioned the biker man, you know, coming in and just for our listeners to think about, what was that image for you just now? What's your image when you pull up beside a burly big biker on the street? What do you imagine him to be? Because I think a lot of that has to do with mental health in our times, and then we begin labeling. Yeah. We think we know the person. Oh, he must be this, he must be that. What if you pull up beside somebody with an American flag in the bed of their truck? What does that mean? Are we correct? Because we're not always correct. So I think this is really what our show is about, is
this
how
is.
We can label.
How we label and mislabel
right.
big time.
Right. Because I know a lot of big guys that are just teddy bears.
Yeah.
If you really get to know them.
And I believe this one was too, but we have that, we already have that prejudgment or bias or stereotype that, oh, he must be with the Hell's Angels or one of those, you know. But, yeah, so let's go into this, Dr. Jacqueline. You know, we have, there are some, you know, concerning aspects that I'm seeing, and I'm sure you're seeing too, and many of us in healthcare are seeing in our current popular culture, this pop culture of, you know, I'm seeing people get health advice, and I think I talked about this with Dr. Washington Hill on our last program, you know, Dr. Google getting advice from influencers, you know, and then there's the whole AI and ChatGPT, which we'll go into later. But, you know, what are your thoughts on this, or what are you seeing from your frame of reference?
I think with the social media, it's even bigger today. But I go back to the 90s. Those of you that are old like me may remember in the 90s, everybody was bipolar. Mm. Bipolar. If somebody was excited, they were manic. If somebody was down a little, maybe they had a death in their family, and right away we label that depression instead of it's grief, and give the person time to grieve. That's so important. And then in the 2000s, 2010, that era, everybody had ADHD, ADD. I'm ADD. And it was fun. I went to a workshop one time, and the gentleman leading it was ADD children in the audience as well as their parents. And at one point, he started talking like this and said, can you all keep up with me now? And the ADD kids were sitting up in their chairs, totally following him because he was speaking their speed.
Mm.
So it's more about how do we learn? How do we hear? How do we see? And today, many people are, autism is the big thing. Everybody's on the spectrum. And I recently called one of my favorite advisors from graduate school, and I said, what do you make of this? And he said, well, what I make of it is we're all a little different. Now, I want to be careful because there truly are people that are autistic. So I want to be careful here. And that's not fair to the autistic population when we start generalizing it and making everybody autistic. And I like that idea of we're all a little different. And I would even choose to say we were all created unique. And how do we kind of refrain from pathologizing that uniqueness?
Yeah, that's really important. And I know in maybe in internal medicine, you know, and this was, Probably 15 to 20 years ago, the kind of popular diagnosis in medicine, everybody was getting, or a lot of people were getting diagnosed with Barrett's esophagus. I remember hearing this back in 2005 to 10, 11, 12. Oh, I've got Barrett's esophagus. I'm prone to esophageal cancer. And, you know, my doctor put me on a proton pump inhibitor and I've got to take this so I don't get cancer. And, you know, now I don't hear any. Nobody's coming in with Barrett's esophagus anymore. It's a miracle. But just these diagnoses. And I kind of say jokingly, and I do mean this kind of jokingly, but heart partially jokingly, but like, what is diagnosis? Dia comes from the word two or more. Gnosis from Gnostic, don't know. So I kind of say, oh, two or more people don't know what the heck is going on with you. But anyway, yeah, that we are different, especially in the mental health and, you know, we're not, there's protocols for everything and we're not cookies. Everything should be more custom to us. And that's, you know, the framework of Chinese medicine and some of these more, indigenous medicines or traditional medicines is how the WHO refers to us. But, Dr. Roller, I was at the MCC Church of the Trinity here locally for Easter service, and they had a special guest, and I think he's from Bradenton. He's a singer, Justin Ryan, and his song was so moving, and we're going to play it here. He has a song called Different. Oh, one moment, Neil. Yeah.
You know, I've heard Justin Ryan, and what's amazing, is it the song Different?
Different.
Mm-hmm. What's amazing about that song, which I love, and I think we can really miss this in our culture, again, people that are outside the box, or let's say minorities, they have so much to teach us in terms of accepting our own differences. I think Justin's song really says that. In terms of accepting gender, I think race, mm-hmm. sexual orientation, ethnicity, all of that is like about, again, he titled it Different, but what I love about when I heard him was he really embraces who he is. And to me, that is a healthy ego, healthy mental health. And I know Justin because I heard him speak a little too. He did not come to this easily. Mm-hmm. I don't know his story of therapy or, you know, he says in the song he was a mama's boy. I think that's so important that people that really can accept who they are had some kind of protective factor in their life, and perhaps his mother was that for him. So, yeah, I look forward to listening to it again.
Yeah, thanks, Neil. Let's take a listen.
I am a single man, going on 33. And folks are probably wondering if there's something wrong with me. Shouldn't you be married by now? Find a nice girl and settle down. But God knows that kind of life ain't in the cards for me. I'm not like most other men. I guess I've always been different. I was a mama's boy, kind of a sensitive kid. They'd say fight back like a man, but I never did. When other boys would bully me, I'd turn the other cheek. Always gentle, mild and meek. Some things you just can't change, and I've always been this way. Different. So do I make you nervous? Just a little bit. Would you want me as your neighbor? Would you trust me with your kids? Are you afraid of me? 'Cause I'm not like you. who isn't different. Some like to criticize the way I live my life. You see, I like my wine and I spend my time with a bunch of guys. And I ain't ashamed to admit some of my best friends live their lives and sometimes die out on the edge. You might call them whores and freaks, but they're just like me. So do I make you nervous just a little bit? Could you love me as your neighbor? Would you trust me with your kids? Are you afraid of me 'cause I'm not like you? Is there any one of us who isn't different? My name is Jesus, and I live in Galilee. And there's an angry crowd outside right now coming after me. You've never seen such fear, never seen such hate. And if I'm right before tonight, I will be betrayed with a kiss from another man. That's how they'll know I am different. Oh, I am different. Don't you know I am different?
Thank you so much, Neil. That was Justin Ryan with the song Different. And we saw him locally at the MCC Church of the Trinity on Lockwood Ridge Road on Easter Sunday service. And I believe he's from Bradenton. And oh my gosh, it was just such a moving and heartwarming experience to hear him sing. And interestingly, he shared that Tim McGraw has just recorded the song. So thank you to Tim. Thank you, Justin, for being who you are and teaching us all from your example. We are grateful. Dr. Roller, did you have any other commentary on that?
Actually, as we were preparing for this, Rebecca, you were talking about influencers and social media and what does that do to the mental health of people if they're not getting good advice in social media. And so yesterday I started thinking about JotGPT therapy and how people are turning to that. Unfortunately, many because healthcare has really plummeted as far as access for a lot of people. So I understand where, hey, this is free. You know, mm-hmm. I can go on. Also the song, Different had me thinking about many states had outlawed conversion therapy, which is, it's very Christian based and the goal is to change your gay child into a heterosexual child. And that's like trying to change your white child into, well, more often in our culture, black into white. Like, who we are is who we are. And that's what I love about Justin's song. So there's a lot of therapies out there that are very dangerous. And GPT therapy, yesterday I got curious, and the P in that is pre-trained. So it gives the sense that you're speaking to a trained therapist. And Rebecca, you mentioned earlier the uniqueness of each human being. And part of an intake, if you come to my office or another mental health person, part of the intake is getting to know your history, who you are as a human being, what was your family system growing up. And so there is no way a pre-trained computer, bot GPT therapy, has any of your background. And there's been cases that led to suicide.
That's scary.
Yes.
And horrific.
Yeah. Where the GPT therapist actually said, that seems like a good idea. As the person was sharing that they're having suicidal ideation. Now, no trained mental health person would ever say that. So to be duped into these are pre-trained transmitters, it's pretty scary. I saw an article yesterday where the shooting up at what university? Florida State University in 2025. Remember that?
Oh, yes. Uh-huh.
They're suing because the person who allegedly committed those crimes got a lot of the ideas for that crime, again, from GPT bot. So that's scary.
That is scary. And we were watching just a little documentary. It's kind of recent, of some of the founders of this AI. And, you know, they basically, I can't remember if the documentary, it's on YouTube, but basically, like, they were training it to just play a simple game, you know, video game, and train it to play. And then after it passed certain levels, it was just supposed to stop. But it took over and trained itself to go beyond and go beyond that stop. Like, in my way of thinking, I'm thinking like, oh my gosh, we're almost at that 2001 Space Odyssey of, you know, Hal, open bay door, open the bay door 9, Hal. I mean, that is, and we're seeing this. And I know, I was supposed to have an interview with a doctor in Europe last week, and I'm hoping to reschedule that. And I'd like to ask him to come on here as well, but to talk about, you know, effectively using AI in healthcare, you know, even in my own, in the acupuncture, Chinese medicine framework, but also the problems with it, and you know what do we need to be mindful of? And I think at this day and age, we just all need to be really a lot more mindful of these things. Again, we're here with Dr. Jacqueline Roller, clinical psychologist, and we're talking about mental health and mental wellness today. And our studio line is open. If you'd like to comment or ask Dr. Roller anything, that number is 941-954-8636. And while I'm just on that, I'll take a little moment to talk about, we are on the cusp again of our giving challenge. This is the time of the year, one of two times of the year, when WSLR and, you know, and when we combine with other nonprofits, and we raise money to keep the station on the air. Community radio. Do you know what a precious gem this is? It's almost it's a treasure in our community. It's rare to have a public radio. I think a year or two ago when I searched for public radios in Florida, I only came up with maybe five or six of them. And so it's just such a treasure to have this, where you can have just real commercial-free, real people talking about things that you're not going to find on commercial radio. And so with that, the 2026 Giving Challenge is happening coming up April 15th through the 16th. That's 24 hours giving event from noon to noon, supporting nonprofits across our region. At WSLR in Fogartyville, we're turning it into something special with 24 hours of live programming, performances, and community events, and everyone is invited to participate. We're calling it the Be the One-a-thon. During that 24-hour window, donations between $25 and $100 will be matched dollar for dollar, so your gift goes even further. Right now, we're building toward that moment. We're asking our listeners to commit to being part of it by making a pledge to give when the challenge begins. If you believe in independent media and community voices, be the one for WSLR and Fogartyville. So back with Dr. Jacqueline Roller, and we got Neil Rubidoux running the soundboard here with us this morning. So let's see. So what can we do? Oh, you and I were talking, Dr. Jacqueline, about teachers, you know, the importance of teachers.
Okay. Yes. Can I say something first?
Mm-hmm.
I just want to introduce the audience, and many of you may know this, to the term screen memories. So earlier in the show, when Rebecca mentioned her mother's birthday, I invite you just to think, what does that bring up for you? Do you see your mother when you were a child and she's standing there with your birthday cake or your favorite birthday memory of a gift? Those are screen memories. And so when we talk about GPT therapy and you're talking to a computer, if we're really honest, who they try to fool us into saying, well, they're pre-trained transmitters. They have no idea of your history, so they may not know. For you, birthdays were really traumatic. It was a time where your family started drinking, if you had alcoholism in your family, and they were just horrible experience. So your screen memory of birthday may be very different than the ones I described a second ago. That's, again, where the danger can be, because they don't have your history. They have no idea. These computers where they're just offering that stuff. So Rebecca and I talked about, like, we don't want this to be a downer. Like, where's the hope in these times then? What if that was your birthday? And there's a concept called protective factors. Justin mentioned that in his song. He said he was a mama's boy. So maybe his mother was his protective factor. He said in his song, "Do you trust me with your children?" The Justin that I heard seemed like a man that I would definitely trust with my children. So he could be a protective factor for that little child's birthday. When he's outside, he looks sad. It's his birthday. And then you got somebody like a teacher that knows it. They've got a birthday bulletin board. They're protective factors. So yesterday I heard in the news that Sarasota County is laying off 180 teachers for this coming year. That is scary in terms of mental health. And we don't think of teachers as counselors and so forth, but those are the people, if you think of students in theater, in athletics, the coaches, the theater directors, those are the people who are really protecting these students that are coming from family systems that are quite traumatic. And I found that really sad when I read that yesterday.
Yeah, that is going to be a big problem. One of my best friends is a local high school teacher, you know, and when we went to war recently, when the war in Iran broke out, she said that next day, or, you know, whatever, I think it was a Monday, she said, you know, some of her students are like, "Miss So-and-so, are we at war?" And technically or legally, she can't even answer that. You know, she can't talk about it. There's so many restrictions now placed. And, you know, Dr. Jacqueline, we were talking about, I mean, many of us have memories of that one person, maybe that teacher, that one teacher that just really, like, I know, I remember my high school history teacher, Mrs. Millerman in Richardson, Texas, who brought in an Auschwitz survivor to share his story. You know, that was so, I mean, she just, everything was so meaningful, the way she taught history and taught us to think and hear about, you know, the capabilities of man and the inhumanity of it at a high school level, and to be moved by that. You know, an art teacher, an English teacher, there's so many that stand out, and they're like another parent to us. I mean, that's how I feel. I had so many protective factors, and I'm so grateful for them.
Well, and Rebecca, when you just mentioned teachers, it gave me a screen memory of my sixth grade teacher. It was the first time I had a man. A little bit about my personal life. I grew up with a father in Indiana who worked really hard, but he was working 3 to 11. So I didn't have a lot of time with my dad. And so Mr. Voorhees in sixth grade kind of, I know in many ways, kind of became my second daddy, if you will. And the screen memory I just had was the Beatles were all the thing right then. And I just had this screen memory of all of us just singing with all of our heart, Hey Jude. You know, and Mr. Voorhees was in the front of the classroom. And I'm wondering if any of our listeners are even having screen memories of who were their protective factors. Because I think when we talk mental health, yes, those of us that are professionals, please contact somebody if you're really, really struggling. And there's really support in the community with those protective factors. So it would be kind of interesting to, I just wonder what our listeners are thinking right now. Are they the protective factor for children? Who was their protective factors? Was it a teacher? Was it a neighbor? Was it a minister at church? That's the hope that we need to hold on to in these times as there's so many cuts, especially in healthcare.
Yeah, and I would think this is the time we need more protective factors, not fewer.
So what do we do in these times with feelings of hopelessness, anger? What do we do with those? And I think one of the things is we seek help when we need it. We listen to good music. We take walks. Deep breathing, even if you just do this twice a day, and I don't know if you can hear me with this, but if you breathe in, now, I'm breathing in my nose very slowly and out through my mouth like I'm blowing out birthday candles. Birthday seems to be kind of a theme today. If you do that in the morning and evening for maybe 10 minutes, I think you'll be amazed at how that changes your brain and your mental health. So I really invite our listeners to do that. Maybe even be outside when you do it, you know, with your hands held high and just trusting the universe that whatever you're facing, you're going to get through it.
Yeah, everything is temporary. And, you know, things pass. They do. I know it's really passé, but it's true. You know, everything is temporary and things change. And again, if you'd like to call in, we are here and happy to talk with you, 941-954-8636, and we're here with local clinical psychologist, Dr. Jacqueline Roller. Dr. Roller, you know, it's confusing out there to our patient population, I believe, to know who to go to. You know, there's so much alphabet soup behind everybody's names, and what does this all mean? And kind of like I liken the mental health profession to kind of like there's differences in eye doctors, like the difference between an optometrist and an ophthalmologist. One has a higher level of training and goes into the more of the diseases of the eye. And there's just a training level. Can you share some of these things within your profession or your industry, the differences?
You know, it's interesting because we were talking about social media. If you're really struggling with a mental health diagnosis, there is a place for medicine. So I want to be really clear on that. Like, I'm not one of these anti-medicine people. But that alone doesn't usually work. I think to see somebody who's a licensed clinical social worker, clinical psychologist. I think there are some life coaches that may be beneficial, but I want to be really clear. There's no licensing for that. So anybody can hang a shingle out and say, you know, I'm a life coach.
Yep. There's no regulation.
Right. There's no regulation on that.
Um, Yeah, so there's no regulation, and I think, you know, we're just in a timing where it's kind of the wild, wild west.
You know, you mentioned the Iran war a little bit ago, and there's a lot in the news that I know is triggering trauma for people, where especially people that grew up, let's say, in the Vietnam era. It's bringing up a lot for our veterans where they're having screen memories of those times. And one of the things I really recommend is really limit your exposure to the news. Yes, you want to keep up with what's going on, but not to the point that it's traumatizing you. It's very dangerous. And sometimes I just even remember 9/11. You know, I was in graduate school, and there was a group of us that we actually went to a local restaurant, and we could not stop watching it. Mm-hmm. Now, how many times do we need to see the towers collapse? And there's a point where suddenly we realize we were literally traumatizing ourselves by just exposure to it. And I don't know. I'm not sure if I should say this or not, but I'm going to. Sometimes when I look at our current president, I really wonder what that triggers in people that grew up with maybe somebody with mental health in their family, a parent. And I cannot diagnose him because I have not met with him in my office, but there's a book I would recommend. It's called The Dangerous Case of Donald Trump. It was actually written in his first term. And there's 27 psychiatrists and mental health people who actually within this book talk about that. And again, I bring it up just because I think a lot of people watching the news are getting triggered by some of the things that he is saying and doing, many of the things that he is saying and doing.
Yeah, and I kind of look at it like this, like our brain, our mind, the way we think. You know, all those inputs, what we see, what we hear, the mind and our brain is, we need to protect it, you know, and at all, like it's one of my blood chemistry teachers once said, like, if it doesn't bring you money, if it doesn't make you money, or if it doesn't, you know, benefit your highest purpose, it doesn't belong in your head. But it's hard. We get sucked into the news, and really all we really need to know, I mean, this is what I try to do in the morning, 5 minutes on a trusted news site of what are the headlines, what do I want to look in further, and I have to set that aside and go do my work, and I have to show up for others.
I think another huge mental health piece that is so important is sleep.
Mm.
Yes. And it's really important that you're getting sleep, you've got a good diet. But the sleep piece, again, listeners, I want you to just reflect on your bedroom. And what are you doing right before you go to bed? What are your children doing? Do they have their phones in their bed with them? All of that disrupts sleep. And I'm going to admit, there was a point where I found myself during these times almost drawn to check my phone in the middle of the night to see the latest of what's happening. And that's just a dangerous place to be. So I really recommend the phones are shut off at night. You leave them at a desk or something in an office in your home. You're not watching the news, you know, while lying in bed right before you're getting ready to fall asleep. All of that really disrupts your mental health and interrupts your sleep. So sleep is just so huge. Noteworthy, too, is ADHD. There were many times where I would do an assessment on a child or an adult for ADHD, and what came out was that they had a sleep disorder. Mm-hmm. So they weren't sleeping. Or I would learn that they had their phone on half the night. But honestly, sleep disorders is a huge piece of mental health, sleep apnea, and it's often misdiagnosed as ADHD. Another misdiagnosis is a child or an adult is really suffering from anxiety. So they go and they get on ADHD medication, and of course they're going to perform better. But you see that little child squirming in his seat, can't stay in his seat or her seat. Often it's because they're literally trying to stay awake because they were on their phone half the night. So think about when you lose a night's sleep, how you fidget. You're on your way to work. You're fidgeting in the car seat. You're trying to stay awake. You're turning the radio up. You're doing whatever you can to stay awake. That can mimic ADHD. So I just really want to encourage our listeners to really be aware of their sleep health.
Yeah, that's a good point. Dr. Roller, what are some of your tips, general tips for your clients or patients who are struggling with sleep?
They call it sleep hygiene.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. Okay, so many people shower before they go to bed at night, right? So how are we using good sleep hygiene? And as I said before, turning off the media, even being aware of what are you ingesting right before bedtime? Are you drinking coffee? Are you, really cut out the caffeine early in the day. Be aware of ingesting food, like I'd say after 7 p.m. so that, you know, your body's had a chance to digest it and it's not keeping you up because your body's working really hard to digest food.
Yeah, and in Chinese medicine, we actually have a piece of Chinese medicine called feng shui. And it's about, you know, creating your home and you know, what does your petri dish look like? What does your environment look like? Like a lot of us in this modern age have televisions in our bedrooms. And so in a perfect world, we wouldn't have that. But we don't live in a perfect world. So what's the next thing we can do? You know, one of the recommendations when I was studying that was to just simply put like a drape it with a blanket or a scarf. Just cover it. It just creates a little bit of an energetic barrier. So, you know, and then having soft colors, you know, nothing jagged or like really, we could, you know, yin and yang, like nothing red, like red would tend to like be like fire and rev people up, you know, like soft, soothing colors, the blues, the greens. Those are more soothing.
You know, when you mentioned scarf, it took me back to the blankies. Remember when your child did not want to give up that blankie? Well, blankies are okay for grown-ups too. And so when you mentioned scarf, even for anxiety, if you're having trouble sleeping, maybe have a nice piece of silk that you're just, you know, you have between your fingers and you're just calming with that as you do the breathing exercise that we practiced earlier. The other thing I would say in terms of currently, I talked about limiting your exposure to the news. There may be people in your life that whenever you're together, topics come up that you really don't find useful to discuss. Maybe it's politics because you're on opposite sides and that's okay. Like the song, you know, we're all different. But maybe conversations over and over that turn into arguments, maybe that's not good for either of your mental health. And so you choose not to have those conversations with certain people. It's okay to walk away. And I know we got a little time and we talked about this song being at the end, but yeah. We mentioned the Beatles a couple times. I'm wondering if you could find the song Let It Be by the Beatles, because I think that is a huge part of mental health today. When do we need to just let something be?
Perfect timing.
And we will do that right now. Let It Be by the Beatles. Here it comes.
When I find myself in times of trouble, Mother Mary comes to me, speaking words of wisdom, let it be. And in my hour of darkness, she is standing right in front of me, speaking words of wisdom, let it be. Let it be, let it be, let it be. Let it be, whisper words of wisdom, let it be.
it be? And when the broken-hearted people living in the world agree, there will be an answer, let it be. But though they may be parted, there is still a chance that they will see. There will be an answer, let it be.
What a soothing, just heartwarming song. I'm here with Dr. Jacqueline Roller, a clinical psychologist, and we're wrapping things up here today. We were talking during the song with Neil, our soundboard operator and host of Melody Matrix, about sleep. And Neil, you feel better when?
I exercise.
Yay.
If I can, my preferred exercise for good sleep seems to be swimming. Mm-hmm. Swimming kind of just gets the top to the bottom, and it has a good way of moving the muscles around so that I sleep better that way. But any exercise helps.
Yeah, and we were also talking about a specific type of magnesium that has found to be very helpful.
Yes. I personally use magnesium glycinate, actually, I started using that after I had a knee replaced, and I just was not sleeping, and it has really been beneficial for me. I think this song that we just heard, Let It Be, is probably one of the biggest obstacles to sleep. Mm. You know, we find ourselves thinking about what's going on in the news, or that big exam tomorrow, or is my child going to really be okay, you know, in school tomorrow, especially after we hear of another school shooting or something like that. So how do we let it be? And at the break, I was talking to Neil and Rebecca, and I would invite the listeners, if you're not driving, this little exercise that is amazing to help you fall asleep at night. Now, again, you've shut off all of your media, right, listeners? TVs are off, phones are off. You're ready to go to sleep, and your mind's going crazy with whatever tomorrow's going to bring. And this exercise, if you're not driving, I invite you to, with your eyes open right now, think of your peripheral vision without moving your head and look to the left, look to the right, look up, look down. Again, look to the left, to the right, up and down. When you're ready to go to sleep at night, and I'm telling you, try it. It's amazing. Close your eyes and do that same eye movement. So with your eyes closed, you're looking to the left, to the right. Now, you're not seeing anything, right? Because we're trying to let it be. But it's amazing. I don't know the brain science behind it, but I know it works. And I just invite you to give that a try. And I think what I really want to close with is be your own best observer of your mental health. So notice, like, the nights that you don't sleep as well, did you exercise that day? Or what did I ingest today? Oh, yeah, I had that cup of coffee at 5 o'clock. It was so nice visiting with Rebecca. But did I really need that cup of coffee? Because now I'm wide awake. So be the best observer of your mental health. Am I watching too much news? Am I having conversations that just aren't helpful? And I need to just let those be, walk away, still love the person, because it's okay if we have differences. So I really invite you to do that, because there's a lot we can do. And again, that breathing exercise of, you know, slowly in through the nose, out through the mouth, like you're blowing out a birthday candle. There's even one example of that where you breathe in one, you breathe out one, like you count. You breathe in two, breathe out two. Breathe in three, breathe out four. And you do that up to the number 10. And if you lose track, you need to start over. So it's a really good way to help you not only breathe, but to focus. And I appreciate you having me here today, Rebecca.
Thank you so much. Thanks for jumping on with us again. And just a couple other thoughts of, I'm trying to think of things I commonly tell my clients. You know, in Chinese medicine too, minerals anchor, they sedate, they're heavy. Think about the energetics of minerals, right? So when we have mineral-rich foods, you know, in our vegetables, if the soil's good, that's what absorbs the minerals. And so at night, you know, it just helps anchor and settle our minds. So, you know, be in particular with eating real food, nothing processed. Weighted blankets, you know, that helps people. That's kind of a newer thing. The exercise, and I think gratitude, you know, I try to end my day with gratitude. And I think that's a better way, perhaps, than being worried, you know, no matter what's going on. How can we wrap it up with gratitude? Those are my things. Neil, do you have anything else to add? You talked about swimming and exercise.
Yeah, no, I like your idea about gratitude and just calming the mind at the end of the day, even before you're getting into bed, to have some calm thoughts.
Yeah, so Dr. Roller, if people want more information, or do you have any resources to guide people to? And I'm sorry, I'm springing this on you, so if you don't, it's okay, or I can put one in a social media post after the fact.
Honestly, nothing's coming to mind right now. I mean, there's a lot of books out there. I'm sorry.
No,
I'm kind of blank right now.
All good. So thanks again for joining us, everybody, on this Healthy Living Hour. Thanks, Dr. Jacqueline Roller, a local clinical psychologist. Thanks to Neil. And stay tuned for Democracy Now! And next Tuesday, I'll be on with Our Changing Environment with Julia and Jono. And don't forget that you can be the one to help WSLR in Fogartyville next week. Thank you, everybody. Have a meaningful week.